Welcome to Strike Up the Band
and Orchestra,
motivating student musicians. This podcast is a series of discussions about motivation in the instrumental music program. The participants are Luke Jones, Matt McKeever, and Jennifer Mishra. The podcasts were recorded on the University of Missouri, St. Louis campus. In this podcast, we discuss Daniel Pink's video about the puzzle of motivation. We begin by discussing the popular psychology test of the candle problem, which requires critical thinking skills of the participants. We discuss how incentives can have a negative effect on students' motivation to practice. We end this podcast discussing how rubrics can get around physical incentives so students can focus on improving for themselves.
I've never heard of the candle problem.
I've never heard of it before. It's very common.
Yeah, but I thought it was pretty cool.
It's an out-of-the-box thinking.
Technically, it kind of caught me, too, because when he showed the picture of it, and I was like, oh, how would you do that? I remember thinking in my head, I was like, oh, I guess I'd probably try to build the text like this, and it caught me, too. But then he quickly moved into the research with the candle problem about how they gave him an incentive, one group an incentive, one not, and that the incentive actually ended up, the incentive group did worse than the group that didn't have the incentive. So that kind of just suggests right there basically the premise for his entire video, which was that incentives can actually diminish creativity.
If the problem takes a lot of brain power, then you're being distracted by the incentive.
Yeah, and essentially it's the idea of, if going back to the previous thing with the where the task is simple, it's an automatic win because I know what I need to do and I'll get that reward. Mm-hmm. It's an automatic win. If the task is difficult and it doesn't have a reward,
Or requires creative.
Exactly.
The candle task is not difficult. It just requires you to think outside
the
box.
That's what I mean. Yeah. If it's a task that requires you to think outside the box and there's no reward, in your mind you're thinking, well, if I get it, I'll feel accomplished because I figured out this challenge. If I don't get it, oh, well, it was just a challenge too hard for me. But if there's a reward added, there's that
added pressure.
Yeah, there's that pressure that if I don't get this, I know what I'm not going to get. You know what I mean? I'm aware of what reward I'm not going to get if I don't complete this.
And I think in those candle tasks, I'd have to read the research really carefully because they use that task a lot in a lot of different studies. But I think most people in most groups eventually figure that out. It's not like it's an impossible task where lots of people throw up their hands and say, we can't do it. I think it's a task lots of people figure out. Sometimes it might take them longer than other times, but they do eventually figure it out.
Well, yeah, and I guess what I meant was that it's not win or loss, but the way that he set up the scenario is if you do it first, you get $20.
You get more. Mm. In the candle text, you get that aha moment that comes with education, a light bulb moment that people crave that. I mean, that's a very exciting moment where you figure something out, and you do. Once you figure out, I can use the box as a platform and tack it to the wall. I mean, people get that aha moment, and that's a very satisfying feeling. People like that feeling.
Yeah, the entire time I was watching this video, I was basically thinking that, like, I kept thinking of scorekeeping. Like, he was basically saying that, like, incentives, like, diminish creativity, and because you're more focused on the incentive, well, that's basically like how you look at grades during school. Like, those are your incentives. Like, if I get an A, I do awesome, so you work towards that A. So, but then again, you also have those kids that they need to know where they are. They need to know, I'm at an 85, well, I'm going to make it a 95 at the end of this year. And so is it more of a motivational tool for the scorekeeping, or is it more of a motivational tool to just let incentives go, say there's no grades, but base it off, are you improving, are you working hard? I mean, is the student going to do better? It almost seems like you need two groups to see which one does better. Are the students going to do better without those incentives and just give them full creativity, or are they going to do better when there's a scorecard in front of them and they know where they are and how to improve?
Well, I think what he was saying is that in situations where there is some sort of natural scoring system, where it's a very obvious task, you know what you have to do, you know how to get the score to raise, you do it. That kind of thing would work with incentives, would be helped by incentives. So anything that we can think of in music that has a natural sort of scoring element to it might work.
Like playing tests.
Well, it, as long as your grading system is very clear to the students, you know, how many right notes, how many wrong notes, you know, that kind of thing. As long as it's very clear to the students, then it functions like a scorecard. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that, at least my interpretation is that type of task might benefit from having incentives. But when we get into those real life problem solving, because basically practicing is a problem solving experience. You go home, you can't play this part. How are you going to go about playing this part better? That's a problem solving situation where you have to think about strategies and how to improve and that kind of thing. And there's probably lots of other types of creative work we would like our children to do. Those sorts of things, incentives get in the way.
And that's what I'm saying is it, if the student goes home and you are telling the student you're practicing for this playing test, is it better to say, don't worry about the grade, just worry about getting it right and doing well? Is that going to make them, motivate them more versus you saying, okay, you've got an 85 and I know you want to get an A, you need this playing test to get to the A?
I think it depends on whether they need creativity to get to handle the task of playing that passage.
Mm.
Is it simply a matter of sitting down with a metronome and just getting the technique there? Is it just something simple, you just need to get the right notes in the right place and with a metronome? Or is it something, or is it a part that needs some creativity, like how am I going to get there? It's, here are all these practice strategies I can use.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we often approach practicing as a problem solving, but it really is a problem solving experience.
Basically remove incentives, so there's zero time on the student thinking, I got to get this, otherwise I'm not going to get this.
Yeah, because you're right. The grades automatically put that incentive in. Daniel Pink wasn't talking about that because he's talking about business, but grades are a type of incentive, and we can get all wrapped up in that.
Yeah, and that's where things get really tricky. And that's one of the biggest things I've learned as an educator, is that trying to figure out as a music teacher how to work your way around a traditional grading system is nearly impossible. And I really found this, I found it in my performing ensembles, but also just in like my guitar classes, because the way that I see it is, if a student's taking beginning guitar for a semester, all that really matters is what they can do on the very last day of class, right? I mean, what they're walking out of the door at the end of the semester with. But the way that our traditional grading system is set up is they need to have a very clear benchmark that they need to be able to do this by the first progress report, be able to do this by the first quarter, second progress report, second quarter. And
what if they're moving slower?
Exactly.
But they get there in the end.
You know, as teachers, we need, you know, if we're really talking about what our job is as a teacher to educate someone, we have to recognize the fact that they're not all going to be moving at the same rate. So that was a real challenge for me and something I really kind of butted heads with. Not butted heads, but really had a lot of discussions with my principal about, like, I can't foresee myself grading the student at where they're at after this first progress report, because some kids don't get it in that short amount of time, but they do get it by the end of the semester, and I'm really digging them in a big hole by grading them on where they're at right now.
Feedback is important, but not necessarily a grade.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Yep. So, you know, I've always joked with other teachers, and I know it's not realistic, but why can't we just give students a grade based on how hard we think they've worked?
Well, that's why I teach my undergrads to write rubrics, because principals will generally leave you alone if you're writing a rubric, and you can put anything you want in a rubric.
Yeah.
So you can put in an improvement. You can say, perceived improvement as one of your...
It's like 10% of your grade.
Yeah, as one of your criteria.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Because you can write pretty much anything you want in a rubric, and principals accept rubrics. So it turns some vague, amorphous, subjective thing into something very concrete that a principal will understand and accept.
Just because you circled a number on a chart.
Exactly.
On a page.
Wow. Exactly. And the idea that you could wrap your head around the idea that you really can put whatever you think. That's what rubrics are for. They're beneficial for classes like music or grading things like essays that have a subjective element or do benefit from grading on some sort of thing like improvement. You can build those straight into your rubric. I said, you can put anything you want in a rubric. They do give us the flexibility to grade however we would like and make your principal happy at the same time.
Thank you for listening. This has been Strike Up the Band
and Orchestra,
motivating student musicians. If you'd like to listen to more of our podcasts or would like information on this podcast, visit us at sutbpodcast.wordpress.com.